everything.
Okay.
Christmas. Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com.
Time for toys.
Enjoy the show.
And time for cheer. We've been.
Hey everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchie. Justin's here.
Hey everyone, been a long time.
And we're very happy to have we always do this close to the end of the year. It's the second of our twice annual Funimation episodes. Always happy to have our friends back. It's Director of Corporate Strategy, Lance Highschool. Hey Lance.
Hello.
And the Senior Marketing Manager for Funimation.com, Adam Sheehan. Adam, thanks for coming on.
Hey guys.
Well, as always, we always start with the same question. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going very well over here. We survived the apocalypse. You know, obviously, Dallas-Fort Worth is not used to having ice at any given time.
Business Sense doing quite well. When you look at video scan just overall for anime, it's up from last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah. What kind of percentage points are we talking?
Overall, it's in the single digits, but for some companies, it's in the double digits. It's just that sometimes these change whenever you have, like, a big Ghibli movie or some things that get lopped into that is kind of like whenever there's a $6 Pokemon Blitz at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, from just your traditional companies that you know everybody buys from, everybody's having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no stinkers, which is I'm thrilled about that. So it's kind of proved my point, and I know a lot of other people. It's like your anime fandom is you know they'll watch. I mean, they've always been watching the shows. And they buy the shows they like. And so, you know, used to it would you was, you know, your clubs and your tape trading. And then whenever, you know, stuff got more on TV with syndication, then it was on Adult Swim. And then, you know, some of the digi subs. And then whenever everything kind of switched over to the stuff that they're watching online already turned into legal, it's been the same. It's just that people are... We know it. It's just kind of showing people that, yeah, it's like physical is not dead. People like physical. They like to have the stuff. Mm-hmm. So
we
so
will you always said, be materialistic.
Yeah, yes. Because it's just
you know, put a file on a shelf.
Well, it's just like there are some shows that you'll watch as just entertainment, and then some shows that you'll collect. And it's just understanding with, you know, if you're a company that is primarily, you know, home video and, you know, wanting to do the expense of an English dub, you have to have really good guesses on, well, these are the shows of each season that people will collect. And, well, these are the shows that people will watch a lot, but they might not collect. And so... Sometimes that's when, you know, you would get shows that would come out from companies that would be really, really hyped, but then the sales just tanked because that was a show that people liked to watch. A lot of hype, just people didn't want to collect. So a lot of it is that's kind of the art of it, and it's still a gamble, but thankfully all the companies are doing quite well on their guesses, and also it's sometimes within these seasons that there are some shows that you know some season like well, where's all the good anime? Well, and then new people getting into anime that have been watching all the simulcasts, and it's like, I want to start collecting. What should I get? And yeah, it's, you'd be surprised how much Yu Yu Hakusho people buy each year, and it hasn't been on TV for like 8 years. It's just, a lot of it is, it's like okay, you know, you like the EVA movie, here, get the EVA series, try to find it if you can. You like this Elfin Lied, well, you think that's weird, go watch Elfin Lied. Oh, this funky thing, go watch that. And people refer to everything. So it's a mix of old and new when you think about home video.
Yeah, our catalog is prominent. We like when our shows we pick up, and fans who didn't see the first time because some of the stuff is, you know, 5 or 6 years old. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's good, and they're buying new to them.
Yeah, and then because, you know, like a lot of what we're doing for next year is, you know, working on a lot of the rollout with all the Bandai stuff. Because, you know, we haven't announced a whole lot of dates, is because we're trying to get all the materials and getting it all ready and prepped and timed and, you know, putting on the schedule. So, you know, it's understanding what people like, because, you know, it's like with book publishers and Image and DC and Marvel, people are always going to read a Watchmen. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, we're pretty sure that Bebop's going to do pretty well for us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like a risk.
I know. We're feeling good, though. Feeling good.
Yeah.
So you said no stinkers, no bombs.
Oh, well, we still have some bombs. I mean, it's just that...
collectively.
They kind of met like 80% of our expectations, but we've had more winners than stinkers, a lot more winners.
So nothing is just completely tanked.
No, nothing's really crapped the bed. Nope.
We've been pretty good on rolling the dice and picking the right stuff at the right prices, at the right releases, and just handling it all correctly.
Yeah.
No big windups.
No, nothing like that.
So, I mean, in terms of sales then, because it seems to me, this is just my perception, that you guys are like a bit more selective even than you were 2 or 3 years ago. Like, it's getting down to where it feels like your release schedule is pretty carefully curated, at least compared to some of the other companies out there. It's not a knock on them. It just seems like your release schedule is fairly heavily curated. It's very careful decisions. And you're going after specifically, like, okay, we're pretty sure this is going to sell pretty well for us. Curious if, A, if that's accurate, and B, if... what is the selection process now? What do you look for? Because I know, Lance, you've talked in the past about, like, look, the heavy moe stuff, like, or magical girl stuff, I think specifically, you said, like, look, we're not gonna bother with that, or you know, anything that you're saying, okay, this is not what we're licensing.
Well, it's, once you look at Nielsen Video Scan, with their sales data goes back to 2000 on DVD, so we have 13 years of sales experience for everything. We know our internal sales, what works. And then you gauge a lot from the metrics of all the views that you get from a lot of shows now. So if you simulcast, you'll know from those. And then once you simulcast enough, then you'll know of shows that are the ones that have more likelihood of, well, these are the shows that people will collect. I mean, granted, you know, some people are going, oh, well, how about this show? This show should get this and this and this. And yes, that is a quality show, but if they understood how much it costs to do a full production of a title, it's a heavy risk. And we are, you know, Funimation isn't risk adverse. It's just that we like to manage our risks to a good degree.
Yeah, overall, we use a lot with the experience of the people in the building, our sales knowledge, and our general, you know, simulcast views and things like that, and look basically where to, you know, put our money in as we go forth. Mixing with what all the studios have to deal with, basically, what's Japan bringing out? So it's sometimes a mixed bag. Like, if you look at our earlier releases this year, summer was a little light, but holy crap, they'd be loaded on starting in fall, just because that's where the materials came in. That's when we saw some good stuff. It just happened all at the same time. So it's a mix up that's coming through there, but basically we have to become more selective, because we have, again, back to the catalog mention, our catalog's pretty vast. So basically we look for holes for fans and genres out there that we might have missed or are so good that we definitely want to catch.
Yeah, and then there are also one of the one or two shows that you're like, oh, we should have gotten that.
Yeah,
or we want it. And so I mean granted there are some shows that we, you know, itching, but it's just we couldn't have it or got kind of outbid on it. So yeah, I mean there's some.
So what were the big were there any surprises this year in terms of sales?
Okay, that's why I have the.
Let's go to the Lance 9000 computer.
Oh, it's called Vigiscan.
Vigiscan's pretty awesome.
That sounds dirty.
Uh-huh. It kind of is, but it's really awesome.
No, it's one good surprise was that we had this time in between for Fairy Tail. And we were a little worried about that in between, but nope. People still kept on it. The reason being was whenever we put stuff out on like online with the dubs, people were just eating that up, and it's like, yep, people are still aware of it. Sometimes you kind of risk it once you have stuff out in the market.
Two simulcasts that actually did we knew they thought they were going to do well, of course, because we grabbed them, but they did better than expected. I can say is Kamisama Kiss and Devil's a Part Timer. Those both did what we call better than expected, so we're very happy to pick those up.
Yeah.
I mean, Attack on Titan, we all knew we were going to do very well, so we wouldn't call that a surprise, but it did extremely well, of course.
Right. Were any of those exclusive to you guys in terms of streaming?
They all were, but Titan.
Right. Oh, okay, right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to rejog my memory on those.
It's been a little bit. We understand that's a few seasons ago, I think, now.
Yeah,
spring.
Yeah. It's like, yeah,
so much anime.
Yeah. It's like, oh, remember the days you only had to review kind of like 10 titles of simulcast? Now you have to review them all. Thanks, Obama.
Well, how does that affect things? Because this is kind of a new thing where you guys are splitting things with Crunchyroll. How is that affecting your numbers and your logistics? How does that work?
It's the only thing that affects is these titles need audience.
Yeah, overall, it doesn't really affect us on what we're doing because they do their own thing with how they market a show and how we market a show. It's very different. We don't really work together too much on it, if at all. So we just keep doing the truck along what we believe the audience would like from our end. Like, let's mention Titan. We say we keep pushing Titan on the simulcast, and we also have, of course, the DVD and Blu-ray rights and all of that coming down the pike. So basically we can lean them as in like, hey, watch the simulcast now and check it out later, where that's not the same angle they'll go for because they don't have the same rights. So it's two different things for the most part, so it doesn't really affect what we're doing. Why don't you tell the kids at home what VideoScan really is in case we don't, call those who don't know.
Oh, I can't do one thing and talk about
it. Okay, I'll tell them what VideoScan is. VideoScan is a video scam. That was really bad. VideoScan is a wonderful program that you pay a lot of money for, a monthly fee, right? I believe
it's annual.
Okay, a big annual fee for which lets you see how sales are going across the entire U.S. industry. No, I got this wrong. Okay, you tell them. I don't know as much about this as you do.
Okay,
I haven't used it in years.
No. VideoScan is kind of like, you know, all the major retailers report in, and it's Nielsen. Nielsen knows everything. Nielsen is God. But then there are some of your independents don't report to VideoScan, so you don't get a full clear picture, and so it helps in your crystal ball, and you know we get sales reports from these retailers as well, but this is more in an aggregate, so you can just look at stuff and research, and everything.
Did they start tracking Amazon? That was a big hole.
No. The big hole was Walmart. They started tracking Walmart starting last February, and then you got Walmart from the past 3 years. They retroacted Walmart. So the fun games that I have is sometimes I get these really weird like live action movies. I'm like going, that's that guy. Okay. And then I would just kind of just like take a picture of that video cover. And then I just, my jaw drops at how much people paid, you know, how many people bought that for like, you know, like it's like a $10 movie night.
And sold like crazy.
Walmart. I'm like going, yeah. Okay, that's
Walmart's
why. That's why, because if they call them the dump bins, you know, all those $8, $10 movies. Yeah, there's a reason why those movie bins have been in there forever.
Because they really, really work.
Yeah, I'm like going, yeah, not for me.
Yeah, impulse buys, wonderful thing.
Yeah, yeah, and lovely presents to get for Zach.
Right.
People love dumpster diving, even if all you manage to pull out is a, you know, week-old piece of, you know, Chipotle.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 No, no, it's The one good surprise that I had was Michiko and Hachin when that got released. That hit our numbers because I was worried because, you know, that was a Monglobe title that was licensed for someone else, so it wasn't available for a long time. And then whenever it got available, we were approached and we said, yeah. And
too good a show to pass on.
Yeah, it's too good a show to pass on. And because, you know, it's something a little bit out of the ordinary. It's, you know, it's a good narrative.
Another good idea of picking up good shows that fits unless we didn't fit rapport or didn't have enough for them.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff is once you worry about getting a title that's been out there for about 2 to 3 years, it's just that risk of, like, do people still remember it? Because because some people, not fans, I mean, it's just in general, sometimes you kind of have a short attention span where it's like, oh, this is the greatest big new thing. Oh, I'm so hyper on it. And then you're like, here's this other shiny toy. Oh, I love this. And you remember this other show? Yeah. And so some of it is when we try to acquire shows, we try to think of the shows that people would remember about from a season.
For the ones who haven't seen it before, that's a good quality show also.
Yeah, and then, you know, people are going to say, well, then what about all your fan service shows? I'm like, well, there's a certain demographic that, you know, they want shows.
And we do love those guys.
And so, you know, there's, you know, anime is not just one certain person that you market to this one certain person with these titles. It's trying to have a wide array of critically acclaimed movies to really odd taglines on fan service-y shows.
I think the variety of anime is the reason we got into it.
Yes, it's anime is for the variety.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it was your best year ever for fan service?
Oh, well, I think I said that in the October 2010 ANN, so yeah, you might want to have a show notes reference to that.
Sounds about right.
And look who's doing the puns.
I know.
I haven't even done a pun yet.
We beat you to it.
Look at this.
Nicely done.
What? So this is what ice storms do to Lance. They need to have more ice storms down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you baked a lot and worked on things, didn't you? During the ice break.
Baking has been cooking. Yes.
I don't know food.
I cook. I don't live in California.
Sorry. Okay. Different thing.
Well, I had a few titles I wanted just to ask about their performance. If you could just characterize their sales. I'm very curious to know how that... I mean, I assume the answer is, well, it did great, but I'm curious about the Rock the Dragon Dragon Ball set.
Rock the Dragon was... It hit its numbers. We know that it wasn't... You know, it's for that core audience that wants that release. Because, A... it's the original video on DVD that, you know, that Pioneer released that, you know, because we have a lot of it is we were looking in the production in our archives and we had all the material. And so it's like, okay, it's the edit, it's the audio from 98 and it's the video from 98 and there's a market for it. People, you know, there's been boards that it's like going, oh, Funimation just threw it away. It's like going, when are they ever going to release this? And that's our target. It's something that it's going to be just an annual. Oh, they finally released this because some people don't know that it's out still, and they'll eventually you know find it. So you know it's not the number one product that we have for Z right now because the Z box sets are by far and away. Are the still main sellers. This is something that for the people that want it, just having it available.
Yeah, like, oh, this wasn't the Walmart title, you could say, along those lines. It was basically, it's going to be a little special. That's why it should be in that unique booklet box. Have you seen it?
Yeah,
things, I mean, definitely not like our normal ones, because that audience, we can cater to that audience and saying you have to fit in line on the shelf.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually we'll probably break it out into those 1-2 seasons.
Oh, yeah. Down the road, anything's possible. Well, with Dragon Ball Z, anything's possible.
Well, with Funimation's history,
yes.
It's like with Z, it's like going, what's another type of version we can release this out of?
As I used to say at all the panels, this is the last version until the next version.
Yeah, but honestly, it's the one thing that that Funimation has never released, and there was no excuse not to. So it's like, let's release it.
Having something new as Dragon Ball, even though it's old, was definitely something that we wanted.
Yeah, that was just an additive to the release schedule. Because
I wonder how many people there are out there actively collecting every release.
Oh, there's some. Oh, we've run to a few good number.
Oh, it's awesome.
They love it too. They got the VHS ones on the shelf and they're so proud of it too. And I've seen them, they're quite nice. They send you pictures. I've seen back tattoos of the stuff. So yeah.
That's just shaved hair, Lance.
Bad mental picture, thank you.
I went there.
What's the other ones you had, Zach?
So it's probably a little early on this one because it just came out, but I'm very curious if you have any early data on how Akira is doing for you.
It's doing quite well. It was our number one seller last week on Amazon.
Well, that I'm not surprised by. I was just curious. Like, I'll probably ask about that again the next time. You know, when we have you guys on.
Yeah, because the thing with Akira, it's, you know, whenever Pioneer released it, within those two versions, that's when everybody collected it. And then when Bandai put it out, you know, that was the first time you got it on Blu-ray. So some people have already bought it on Blu-ray. But this is the thing that it's like, Akira is something that always needs to be available for people to experience it. And a lot of it was, well, what's the difference between, because like if we release the one that Bandai released, it's like, well, is there any difference? And getting the Streamline dub was the thing is like, how about that? And an interesting story about that was whenever we announced that we got the license for Akira, I bumped into Tommy Yoon of Robotech, of Harmony Gold, at Comic-Con. He goes, hey, are you planning on doing the Streamline dub on this? Because I can get you some contacts. And that was like the spark. That was the pure spark of like, let's think about it. Let's do it. And so, you know, that was the process of some of the stuff was getting approvals for a lot of stuff within the Akira, because, you know, it's the reason why sometimes these releases take a little longer is it's like, well, can we get this in there? Well, we have to run it up to committee, and sometimes committees take a while. And so then some of the stuff is, well, can we do this? Can we do that? Because you're only going to get like one shot of releasing something like that.
No, the volumes are just that one movie.
And so, until there's like a red release.
Well, yes.
But 4K release of everything again.
In 3D.
Well, that's gonna be in like 6 years, so don't worry about that.
But you just want to get it right, so it was a piece of it we can leave on shelf for many, many, you know, what we call it, other people who have not seen it. Like, I'm really curious to see how it's going to sell next week, coming week, because it was on Adult Swim this past weekend, and I was like, Akira's on TV? What world am I living in? This I didn't think I was ever see this happen.
Yeah.
Right, aside from, like, you know, pay cable.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think it ran on, like, Showtime a lot in the late 90s or something like that. Yeah. That's about it. I was very curious because that DVD, you know, that Blu-ray was still available. It wasn't that expensive. It was like, you know, it was out of print, so you'd pay like $60 for it. But if you could get it for a good while there. I didn't know if that re-release was the timing was right on it or what. But if it, you know, the numbers are bearing it out, that's cool.
Yeah, it's because like whenever we do the Rescue Rangers with the show, we always look at, you know, how much of the old product is available in the market and kind of time releases where it's like, okay, well, it's still, some of that old stuff is on the market, but you know, you don't want to wait too long to dry the entire market out, because you don't want people to try to, like, forget about it. Because, like, oh, let's just dry the market out. Let's have people forget about it for 6 or 8 years and put it out. It's like, well, you're doing a disservice for the people that you just discovered anime and just want to get this, instead of going, like, Amazon and paying $80 for, like, a volume 3 of something that everything else costs, like, $6 for.
Yeah, it's not some movie you want that never needs to be rested. There's always going to be a fan for it that hasn't even been born yet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it appeals to art house people. I mean, that's a show it's just like people that just want something.
Right. Cool. All right, next one I had was Lupin, the woman called Fujiko Mine.
I thought it would break out. It hit our numbers, but I thought that would break out a little bit more than it did.
So it met expectations, but nothing more than that?
Yeah, it met expectations. I thought it would break out more. I thought that would get a little bit more attention from a broader audience.
I gotta wonder if, you know, like, that release, that is the most, like, so, like, that show, if you're gonna be like, okay, how do we get Lupin to actually appeal to a slightly broader cut of even anime fans? And that seemed like the show.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's gonna be the one, because if you just keep releasing old Lupin.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's apparently not.
Well, it hit the White Call again. It hit the White Call we wanted to hit, so there was definitely the fans out there. And I think we reached beyond, we put the numbers beyond just the Lupin fans themselves, like what we did before. Yeah. And we're hoping for more than that.
Yeah, but I just hope that, you know.
They're missing out.
I don't know the schedule, because I don't know if we have it on Hulu yet or if we have it on Netflix. A lot of it is you'll get that secondary bump
in the mass season.
Of people that just, you know. They'll scroll in Netflix, and then they'll see the anime category. They'll see, you know, an image of, like, what is this? And then they'll click on it, and they'll go, oh, this is anime. I like anime. And that's that. This show is probably going to be one of those recommends for people like that, just to get them in. Because I think a lot of the stuff is, it's like, for people for kind of like, you know, after college, trying to get people into anime, you need to show them something that is a little similar to what they currently watch. Get them in on that type of show, and then if they like it, then get them into a traditional anime. And I think you know, Fujiko is kind of like one of those.
Yeah, we simulcasted it with Hulu, but again, that's the sub, and the mainstream audience is very heavily dubbed before they get really into it and know that kind of stuff.
I don't want to read.
Exactly. It's late at night. What am I doing? I'm not reading now. I just read a whole bunch of textbooks. So basically getting that out there will be a plus, which is, of course, available dubbed on Funimation.com.
Gee, you're a shill.
I know. We'll do it again.
And then, I got to ask about One Piece. How's that doing? Like, across the different SKUs, like, because now you're doing for a while you've been doing these collections, and then you're still splitting it up across, like, two boxes for every season, and then you just put out what was the most popular movie in Japan in a decade. For that franchise. How's that? Is it still just treading water? Is it still doing enough for us to keep releasing?
We're getting good incremental increases with each volume. I think if it was like back in the day, Adult Swim, when anime was Monday through Friday and then Saturday, like if you had like 6 days a week on TV with One Piece, I think that would be your magic bullet for the show. I think a lot of it is just that exposure, because I think, you know, the people that you have is your fan base, but then some people think that it's kind of like reading comic books, that there's kind of like a learning curve, because that's why Marvel always has a number one, here's a new arc. Mm-hmm. And what I like about One Piece is that when you have the different arcs, it's a new starting point for people. And so whenever we have these new starting points, that's when we do a lot of marketing towards One Piece. And then that's when we see the increase in unit sales and audience attention for it. So that's how we utilize One Piece, is once there's like a new arc. Or what we did in this past year was doing the One Piece 101s. Mm-hmm. You know, here's how to start from this point. Here are these characters. So if you're starting from, you know, each, you know, if you're doing Skypiea or if you're doing any other arc, you can go back and have a 101 of Sanji, so you can kind of like get up to speed on him. And then, you know, all the resources like like, you know, the One Piece podcast. You can like go back, kind of like review a little bit and refer to it, and things like that. So, you know, it's a bit of a learning curve, but once you get hooked onto One Piece, then it's just, you're just like, okay, I dig this, I like this, give me more. So it's just trying to get those people to, instead of watching once, just watching a lot more of it.
Yeah, the size of the show doesn't seem to be scaring people off anymore. There's a lot of us fear in the beginning, and a lot of people are like, well, it's big, and it's like, no, it's broken into arcs and stories. And putting a lot of it, again, on our site now, we just actually are now simulcasting in HD, putting the back catalog on there now in HD sub and dub as well. Having that available so they get into whatever arc they want has been a big plus, as well as we did a big sale over Cyber Monday when we did you get the collections for like a really crazy good price. And we saw a lot of people buy those, and I was like, they just bought 200 episodes of One Piece right now, and they're like, yeah, totally, this is awesome. I wanted to get in the show for a while.
Yeah, because some of it is, it's just that fear of, oh, well, I'm never going to, you know, Funimation never going to release it all. And so once people see that, you know, we're up to what? How many episodes? 300?
Oh, God.
Something like that, yeah. on DVD.
Yeah.
We're in season 5. And so they once, because now people see it, oh, they're going to be releasing this all the time. Then people go, okay, now I'll collect. Because it's some of that fear and trepidation is like, oh, they stopped here because Funimation did it on X show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's.
There's
it's,
that big
it's,
gap
it's,
between.
It's series dependent, independent on all that stuff.
Yep.
I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine, like. Oh yeah, I own physical copies of a TV show that is over 600 episodes long.
And he says that's he's halfway insane. Through.
it's insane.
Yeah, it's like it's, you know, what other show can you compare it to? Like, I can think of is Law and Order.
Yeah,
right.
That's the only one I can.
Which put
I
out
can
a full box set? Because
when you think of all the other Law and Orders. You can do that. The Simpsons, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine there's a lot of people that have all 26.
25.
That's what
they're up to right now. So, yeah.
They haven't released that much. They're only up to, like, season 16 on The Simpsons.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. They're behind.
Well, there's no interest. Like, there's no interest in seasons of The Simpsons past about season 9. Because then the show turns to total garbage and everyone knows it. So, you know, they'll resell you those first 9 or 10 seasons over and over and over again.
Yeah. After the first decade was solid.
Yeah. This is the Conan O'Brien season.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So it sounds like One Piece is doing okay. I want to ask about this because I noticed that you guys do a lot increasingly you do a lot of marketing behind your theatrical releases, your releases of theatrical films. So like Wolf Children has been getting a big push. You guys did a lot of theatrical showings for that and still are. Like you're doing that on-demand thing, right? Where people can like they'll say like, yeah, we want this in our town, and if enough people buy tickets, then it'll show there. Yep. And you guys, you know, there's a big push for that at conventions. You were showing it at conventions a lot, and I had several opportunities to see it in a movie theater. But I noticed you didn't do that for at least this is my perception. You stop me if I'm wrong here. You didn't really do that for Strong World. That didn't get quite the push as like this is a movie as something like Wolf Children or what I imagine you're going to do for Evangelion 3. Was there a particular reason for that? Did you look at it and say like, look, this isn't, we know the audience for this. It's not worth the marketing effort to push this as a big theatrical thing.
Well, part of that is, some of it is, you know, we released that One Piece movie a while ago.
Right.
And then with this One Piece movie and then it performed okay. I mean, granted it was, it was a recap, not a completely full.
No, it's a Strong World.
No. I'm talking about.
Oh, you go. You're back. I'm sorry.
The Sky As Pirates. Back in the day. And so some of it is just some of it is based on past performance and wondering about how people would, you know, we know that the collections work and the season sets work. A lot of it is, well, how would the movies work? And so the Strong World worked very well on home video. And so, you know, looking at past movies and current movies, I think that probably the next rounds that we do, we'll probably do theatrical and do more. It's some of these. It's like, well, Funimation did it on one thing, they should do it on everything. It's a case by case
schedule, resources. A lot of things are involved with that.
Yeah, but no. I mean, you've seen all the promotion and all the stuff we do with One Piece. It was just the theatrical. We didn't plan on theatrical for it right now.
Yeah, all the other stuff was standalone for the most part, so you don't have anything to build off of it. So you needed that theatrical push where One Piece didn't need it as much as the other ones.
And like with Fullmetal Alchemist Shambhala.
Yeah,
and with the Brotherhood movie, we did some theatrical, but it wasn't wide theatrical.
Yeah, it was limited release. It wasn't as big as the stuff we're doing now, which is a new thing to us, which we're really enjoying. Again, the ticket stuff that you brought up there is doing very well for us. Again, it is letting fans take ownership of, hey, put your money where your mouth is. You guys want this? Let everyone share with you, and it's working out great in a lot of markets. I know a lot of fans are feeling empowered by getting their friends and everyone else to the theaters to see this kind of stuff. They're like, well, we all did this as a community. Anime is pretty awesome. And I got new people to check this out who probably wouldn't have seen it otherwise.
I forget. Have you guys done a Fathom Events thing before?
We were the Fathom guinea pigs.
How would you compare this new method to Fathom?
Right. Yeah, remember because we did those Anime Select. What's it called? Anime Select or... Because we did...
Those four TV episodes that you tried to release theatrically?
Yeah. It was those, and then it was a Fullmetal Alchemist Shambhala. We were Fathom's guinea pigs.
Yep.
All that stuff.
How would you compare the results from releasing via Fathom to this crowdsource thingy?
Well, I don't know how Fathom does it now, but I know what they did in the past was you had like 400 theaters at the very beginning, but if people didn't pre-order like 30 to 60 days before the theatrical date, they would drop cities.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I imagine they probably changed their formula because the Doctor Who stuff was like crazy nuts. But back in the day, was they treated it like a pre-order, like you would go at Suncoast.
And there was because
if you're going to pre-order on like Fandango or something, it's like a week out. And so that's why I said we were their guinea pig. And then from that, it's just a one day event only. And then in certain areas. And so I think nowadays, getting with some of the independent theaters and also, a lot of our like the Monica Magica stuff with their third movie is, showing these theaters the interest of anime. And so hopefully whenever we do more anime movies, we wouldn't need a tug where these theaters will go, oh, yeah, anime sold here. Great. Yeah. No, you don't need a tug. Yeah, we want your movie. Mm-hmm. So there's a strategy on using some of this because you're trying to educate these theaters that there is an audience for this stuff. People want to watch this in the theater.
And you can charge more tickets to afford, too, because it's a special event.
And so...
And you do it on Tuesday, not to lose your Saturday crowd for another movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those first ones were fun, though. What do you call it? A fun story.
I wouldn't define them as fun.
I had to fun at
I wouldn't define.
You're giving me a look. Well, I was going to say this.
You guys sent those out on Digibetas.
Well, I was about to say, what do you call it? We did the Basilisk screening. One of those was happening near the old offices. When the sound guy's there, basically, who went to the booth is like, here, tweak this, make this. And it's all like sounded all wonderful.
Yeah. So, that's the old days. Everything's getting better now. So
yes.
So I don't want to like anime old fart time. Back in my day,
back when anime was on VHS,
we had VHS screeners that we had to do.
Right. Okay. we were talking a little bit about the Dragon Ball thing, and speaking of that, I wanted to ask about it because I noticed there was a ton of Funimation product in the Amazon Black Friday sales this year. And I have no idea how that works. How even a company gets a bunch of their product in, like an Amazon Black Friday or Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
We really, really need to come up with a term other than Cyber Monday.
Holy God, it sounds so dated. It's so wrong in different ways.
But I'm curious, like, so what's the process? Is there a process? Do they just select products?
It's like we have there's different tiers of being being with Amazon. Mm-hmm. And we're in the tier that we kind of have, direct relationships with Amazon. We have a merchandiser that we talk with at Amazon. And there are programs that you can be on and, you know, the person in sales that works the merchandiser, we selected to do to participate in Cyber Monday this year. So that's why you saw it. It's just kind of like it's the same thing of going into the Museum of Fries, and you'll see like the end cap, and it has like all anime stuff on it, or you'll see like a Disney thing, and those are all merchandisers that you work with the home video manager buyer of those stores, and then they'll work with the store managers and these things called planograms with all the aisles. And then, like, if anime has like an 8-foot section, but there's end caps on the end of each aisles, and those have like monthly slots of, well, this week is going to be X, and this week is going to be X, and this week is going to be this studio, and next week is going to be that studio. So everything is scheduled. And so these buyers will also work with like Paramount and Buena Vista Disney. They'll work with the people that have direct accounts and do these things. Or if it's like, if it's a genre, they'll get like horror, they'll get all the different companies that do all the horror stuff and put it out there. And it's the same analog for Amazon, where, you know, all the things that are marketed to you, buy this and get this, or here's this seller, all the emails that you get is like, since you bought this, why not try that? That's all merchandising within Amazon. And then within our sales department, we have a person that they work with at Amazon to schedule that stuff out. So it's just taking advantage of Amazon.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, I was curious because I think that's, I'm sure it isn't, but that it felt like the first time I'd seen like a lot of your product.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun seeing things that sold out and some things that didn't, like a part two that didn't get, that wasn't 100% unclaimed, and some things that went zip.
In seconds.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm lucky I got in on the first minute, the first 60 seconds of that, the deal on the complete She-Ra box set, because that went in like 2 minutes.
Store, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, you guys released your first subtitle-only disc this year, and it was a wonderful little show called You Might Be My Brother, But That Doesn't Matter As Long As We Have Love. How did that do? Are you going to do any more of those?
It is not out yet, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not out yet. Right?
Yeah.
It's not out yet?
The overall fan reaction for this has been positive. It's
the fans that like
Ben like the show. Yes, of course. But the idea of it, we put out there, if we explained it, we probably explained it to death at this point. The whole idea, basically, we're expanding a little further to do some sub-only stuff or stuff we wouldn't pick up for DVD or Blu-ray at all. So it's not that we're going towards we're going to do sub-only stuff. We're still totally living in the dub world. But there's a few shows where you're like, you know what? These ones do deserve a release, but they don't get the full dub treatment. But they're definitely good enough to fit in that world. And this is kind of the first one out the gate that's coming out in next month. Or no, later this month. The 31st, the very end of the month.
Yeah. Funimation's always majority is going to be dub.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's never going to stop. The other half of the building likes that.
If there's a popular show that Funimation licensed, people go, oh, God, they're not going to do a dub for it. Oh, where? Oh, heard on the internet. Oh, I have to go to the forum and complain and talk to Funimation. 9 times out of 10, it's going to have a dub. Don't worry.
Yeah.
If it's a show that you don't hear a whole lot of banter or you don't hear a whole lot of hype once it's been released on simulcast, those are the shows that you might want to be concerned about. So that's it in a nutshell.
All right.
I'm
not playing Guitar Hero.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the online stuff. You had yet another site relaunch this year, which I have to admit, I didn't notice. It didn't seem like that striking a difference. Like, it wasn't quite as big the change as the last one. At least it didn't seem like it. I'm sure it felt like it to you. But so, how is that going? Are you noticing an uptick in subscriptions? What's the deal with the online stuff?
Yeah, I'll say this most recent one was a huge jump compared to the last jump, actually.
Oh, okay, then I'm wrong. Okay, go ahead.
No problem, no problem at all, basically. The overall style, again, basically we had a big style jump between both of them pretty equally. This has jumped to what the new style of the internet is as it keeps changing and growing. But the big difference on this one is we made it a lot faster and a lot more consistent, which on the last one had some issues and we were very aware of. And we thank everyone who stuck with us through this, of eventually you'd be on the site when it was too popular, there's too many people on it, they have a problem. But we've worked through that and made this thing so much better and so much faster, and it's worked out wonderfully for us. And we've actually added a lot more features that people are asking for, like cues for your videos, as well as we also basically our player. We also updated and upgraded too, so it works better on mobile devices. It runs smoother. It runs faster. It's easier to find content. We've also added a shop, which is a brand new world for us for a while.
Well,
we had the Z store back in the day, but it's been how many years since we had that up?
It's probably been like six.
Yeah, it's been a while. So what I call, we're back into doing our own online retail. So with that plus subscribers, which I will say basically, before we launched the site, our subscribers were still growing. Every single month they're going up. And we just relaunched the site in October, and we're seeing an even greater uptick on that right now. So everything's been coming up Milhouse on this stuff. So it's been working out quite well. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've updated our apps over the last month to match up with everything we're doing on the site. We got some more big plans to make sign up easier in the next couple weeks. We've got a bunch of stuff we're planning for next year. We just can't wait to start talking about. So very exciting, but the site's actually the best it's ever been.
All right. So are you, in terms of like viewership on your simulcasts, do you have, you keep talking about, it met our expectations for sales. Do you have the same, like similar numbers when you pick up something for simulcasts? Like, are you expecting it to hit a target audience?
Yeah, because whenever we look at shows, if we're licensing it for, 5 or 7 years, we do projections on all 7 years. And so you look at it as a life cycle instead of just from that one season. And so if we're going to pick a show up, it's like, well, with this type of story and this type of, the pedigree of the studio and the people doing the show and this type of genre and this type of stuff, it's like, well, we anticipate this to do X on home video for the first 12 months. And normally that X would mean, well, we need to do this amount of X views across all platforms for this. And so, yeah, we do have different gauges for each of those.
And adding to that, we're pretty easy to predict when we see the bumps. Of course, during simulcast, when it's brand new, you're seeing a bump. And if we do end up, it does well, and we pick it up. When we add the HD files up there, the later post simulcast, the real files, as well as the dub ones later on, we see a massive bump, especially on subscribers. A lot of our subscribers like the simulcast, but there's even more of them, basically, they look for when it's new to DVD is when they see it new to themselves, yeah. Almost.
You have different, the anime audience isn't just one particular person. You've got people that they just want the latest and new, and then they'll watch the simulcast. Then you have people that it's like, okay, well, that's a good show, but I'm going to wait for the dub. Mm-hmm. Where they watch like one or two of the simulcasts and think, okay, that's good.
I like this. I want to see the whole thing together.
And then some people are like, okay, I want to experience it all the way with the with the simulcast, and okay, I'm going to go watch it. It's like, then I'll watch it on the home video. Some people, they might have school, they might have a heavy job, they might have kids that it's like, I can't do simulcast. I'll just binge watch it once it's over. Mm-hmm. And so you have a gambit of a lot of people that just take anime differently. And so it's just being aware of that. And because, our strength has always been the English dub and then our catalog, and then growing our speed and efficiency and quality of a viewing experience online and getting it right and getting it better and increasing that. So you'll see that we have a plan for everything.
And the expectations, are set also around the general how much access we can get. So when we added all the devices, that was a big plus. It gives it a bigger viewership because people love watching them on their phone, their tablets, or our Roku app. It's a very popular app, what we call right now, because people can watch anime on their TV. So those kind of things, basically, also up the game too.
Are you first and foremost, are you working on? I imagine you're working on getting Chromecast working, if it's not already.
We have a lot of apps right now on the plan. Can't talk about specifically which ones yet, but I know everyone's asking for about Chromecast. They're asking what about consoles, things like that. So stay tuned is the best thing to say right now. But we are very aware that what you guys want. We see the numbers. A lot of them. We're like, this is where they are. This is where we want to be.
Okay. For what's currently out there, can you give us like some sort of idea of what's the most popular devices? What you know people aren't watching on you know that sort of thing.
Generally, basically, right now, so we're seeing a lot of people sampling. We see on mobile, like this, I'll try another episode one where they can get a spot in there. When they start marathoning it and watching a lot more episodes like that, we see a lot more on Roku, and we do see it on tablets. And we're actually also seeing not just people using our app, we're also seeing a lot of people just going right to our site on the tablets and mobile devices because it's mobile friendly. So between those two, what we call it, it's definitely a I'll try it out when I can see it. Like our clips and our trailers, the mobile, bite-sized content. We see that a lot in the mobile apps. We see a lot of that just on our site mobily. When they're watching a lot more, it's the Roku and the tablets.
I see. Is there like a clear breakdown as far as like people's ages, if they're more likely to watch on a device rather than, buy a disc? Or is this some sort of generational divide, or is it just kind of cutting all between all the barriers?
Within all the devices, the one thing when I did this long research, the most recent Wisespan survey that I did online with that got like 20,000 people. So we have a large audience that when we ask how many DVDs do you buy, and then the 5+, 5 to 10, 11+, it's 5, 6 to 10, and 11+. That's like, the majority of our audience. And then I said, we had internal people were wondering of, okay, well, is online and subscription hurting that buyer? And I'm like going, let me look. And I'm like going, it's a Freakonomics. It's the people that buy more DVDs. That's our subscriber. That's mm-hmm. our EVS subscriber. They want more anime. So you think that the people that are subscribing are making it as a replacement to DVDs? It surprised a lot of us that is like, no, it's actually complementing.
Their alpha consumers are both digital and physical.
Yeah. And that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it's kind of like the reason we get to make stuff like the Kamisama Kiss Goddess Editions, premium edition that we're coming out with.
Yeah. I think that, we have a lot more analytics on our new Funimation.com site.
We're going to learn a lot.
That we'll be learning a lot more. So probably in like, the next 6 months that we have, once you ask this question, we'll know a lot more data from that specifically. So, but, just from that, that's a little quantitative, but it's a little anecdotal as well. So
we're data nuts over here. We want to get as much as we can.
Right. We want to learn about you fans.
Well,
makes you happy. We want to do that.
Well, a lot of it is we're all geeks and nerds at Funimation, and so we have a lot of hunches, mm-hmm. But then we also have accounting and home video that is kind of like checks and balances. Like, why do you want to do this? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do this? And so you kind of have to make your hunches black and white for them. So a lot of the times when we do surveys, when we do a lot of research and a lot of filming, a lot of other stuff, once we show them and prove them, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, let's try this out. I'm like, you're right. I'm like, yay, yeah. Good. So
confirm but verify.
Yeah, it's all that, again, risk.
All right. Hey, speaking of surveys, I don't know if you guys saw Charlene's short survey over at Viz. Pretty good. You're going to have to step up your survey game.
Well,
you want to compete with that?
Go ahead, Lance.
Well, that's actually the grasshopper caught the pebble.
So, right.
So,
so you're taking credit for it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he should.
I think Charlene would say yeah, because a lot of it is just kind of a good for them. That's what I say. I think every company needs to do surveys and understand their customer.
The industry grows.
If any company, if you don't know your customer, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, you won't get 100% of what the customer wants. Because at the end of the day, you're a customer. Because if you complain with airplanes and airlines, or you're in a line, you complain, it's like you're the customer. So everybody's a customer. People should know that you should actually like hear them out. It's like they're the people buying your product. Mm-hmm. You know,
customer-driven business.
Listen to them.
Customer-driven businesses go much further in today's world than ever before.
Yeah. So I encourage everybody. But also understand how to conduct a survey,
mm-hmm.
because I've taken surveys online where they're like leading questions and then all
it's
this other crap
long,
stuff.
It's all this stuff.
Yeah,
order.
Yeah. And so, some surveys are crap, but not the ones that Charlene and I do. Ours are awesome.
All right. Well, before we get to Twitter here, I just wanted to. Okay, so we're heading into 2014 now. And I'm curious to know, like, what are you guys most excited about on your release schedule? And, you know, not necessarily from a personal standpoint, but just from, like, we think this is going to do, you know, bonkers business for us. But I'm gonna say, okay, everyone knows Evangelion and Attack on Titan. So let's take those two out. What else in your release schedule for, let's say, the first half of the year are you guys, like, pretty excited about?
So what's the third thing we're most excited about?
Yeah, the third thing. Start with number three.
Yeah,
mine's gonna be a wild card, so I'll let Adam go first.
Ooh, I'm really excited to see again what the Comic Sonic Kiss Gold Goddess Edition is gonna do. So again, that's a premium edition. We haven't done something like that in a while, like since the starter set, like Basilisk and Trinity Blood. So I'm really excited to do that. And of course, in the other space that's not product is Space Dandy. Right. That's going to be something else very special what's going to be starting up in the beginning of the year. So those two things are the ones I'm going to be watching for sure.
Mine's Fruits Basket.
Wow.
We're putting it out again.
Are you putting it out again?
February 4th, 2014. And the funny thing what happened was with all this, oh my gosh, it's so cold. Whose separate posts on Facebook that I saw people wearing the Kyo hats?
Oh, the ones we had the first concert, those
hats. I mean, those funded 2004 anime conventions.
They started the whole department. I don't think I have a job here if you didn't actually start that.
Yeah. That's going to conventions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that show is just that is your 101 starter. Just for people, it's just cute. It's a nice story. It's just life lessons, you know, if people want to understand a little bit about, a pretty guy anime, also just a good comedy. I just want people to rediscover it. All the people that are new into anime, because there's so many new people into anime. I mean, that show. I started Funimation in November 2012. Volume 1 released in October of 2002. So it's like 12 years, and we still get sales on it. And it's just one of those titles that you just keep putting up. That's good. It's, you know, like Trigun. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people buy Trigun every year.
It's new to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I also highly recommend, if you have the original Funimation issue of Fruits Basket, I highly recommend buying a newer one because they look a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, it's way cleaned up.
Those
old discs look like butts.
We were learning then.
Well, a lot of it is. It's the new compressions, and then getting a really good remastered progressive, remastering of
it. It's absolutely not fair to compare Disc Made today with the Disc Made.
No.
Well, I was going to say, so this February reissue, that's a 4K Blu-ray, right?
Oh, we're putting it on 8 gig memory cards. so you can watch it on your Canon phones and on your laptop.
Yeah, just
watch for Google Glass.
We are already getting like people unironically asking for 4K versions of like pre-HD DigiPaint shows.
Get over it. 4K is just kind of like, oh, let's just double the resolution. It looks fine right now. Oh, but we need to see every. It's like.
You already do. That's the pixels.
The problem with 4K is your bandwidth for your networks isn't set up to handle 4K. It's like, how long did it take broadband to come out? To have the networks even get close to 4K, it's going to take 4 years.
Not only that, I mean, and you can tell YouTube has a few things that are 4K, and they look awful.
Yeah.
They look absolutely awful.
Your screens aren't equipped for 4K.
It's like when we first got HD and people's makeups were all off the place, so they didn't know how to handle and deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Look, because like what did the same people market 2 years ago? 3D, how'd that work?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all a marketing gimmick at this point. Yeah. I mean, my dad sent me this article. It's like, what do you think about this? And it was this clearly written by a publicist article about how, you know, HD or 4K, it's a new big thing. Everyone wants it. I'm like, no.
No one
wants it. People want it because it's a bigger number, but anyway, I've gone on at length about this.
Yeah. Well, no, it's you got to sell new TVs.
Yep, you got to find a new reason to buy new TVs.
Yeah.
Most anime is still made in 720p, guys.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing to me is that it is effectively saying, like, okay, so this show that was at its, when it was made, was rendered in like 640 by 480 tops.
Yeah.
Like, they'd have to remake the show in order for it to. Yeah.
And isn't like 720p, the difference between 720p and 1080p on a screen that is, what is it, 32 or 38 inches? You can't do a difference. So you're just wasting money if you buy a 1080p screen.
But it makes me feel better that I chose 1080p. Yeah.
But I need all the P's. All of
this. Unless your screen is the size of your entire wall, you will not notice a difference.
Then we're going to call you Master P.
There's the pun.
I'll take it.
That's my only pun. There you go.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm just holding out for what do you call for 4K of Homestar Runner. That's what I would want to do.
Which would probably scale up better than Fruits Basket.
Yeah. No. It's. I mean. Honestly, I just the other one that I can't wait on is just getting Escaflowne back in the market.
Oh yes.
So, those are basically my two.
Let's talk about that for a second, actually. Escaflowne, Bandai never brought out the director's cut. Are you guys getting the director's cut?
We haven't got materials yet.
Well, so. we haven't. Magician doesn't show all their tricks.
Sigh.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, but we're asking you about a TV show.
Oh, a TV show? Anime is an art form. Anime is not a TV show.
It's gotten to this point in the day. I just want to listen to the soundtrack.
4 o'clock.
I just watch it for the narratives, and then you know all those implied materialism and philosophies and boobs.
Lance, you're stop reading the forums.
All right, let's get to Twitter time.
Before you get to Twitter, okay. If you don't mind, I'd love to share something I got approval for just before we actually went on with this. I got the okay to give every one of your listeners a 15% off coupon code in our shop.funimation.com. So if any AnCast listener basically goes on and at checkout puts in a promo code AnCast, you know, A-N-N-C-A-S-T, at checkout, you get 15% off anything you order from now. And this is going on Friday, so now up and through the end of the weekend.
Oh, okay.
So enjoy, guys.
Curious to see the tens of people that use it.
We'll let you know.
These shows are long tail, so like if you just said next week, it's like, okay, great, but we'll see how that does.
we'll do it again next time, and they'll listen all the way through.
Don't close the coupon.
Yeah, you know, we might be able to do that. Just like, you know what, just leave it up.
It's a secret coupon it's you secret find on Retail Me Not.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So let's go ahead and get to Twitter time. Let's see here. Brandon White 91 asks, how have DVD only box sets like This Is a Zombie or Future Diary done in terms of sales?
That's not your Brandon White, is it?
I was about to say, I was like, what? Yeah. No, they came with the same Brandon White that works here. That would be really weird.
They did the same as they have in like 2008, 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. It's funny thing on the surveys. 87% have DVD players, though when you say what's your preference, DVD or Blu-ray, 50-50. So it's preference. Sometimes it's price. Sometimes it's just you know, their preference on DVD or Blu-ray. And sometimes some shows, it's like, you know, we can only release it on DVD. Mm-hmm. And we let people know.
Yeah, we don't have the rights for that. People aren't waiting. Say maybe 3 years from now, they'll get the Blu-ray rights or something like that. They'll buy it now if it's a show they really like. I know, like, Future Diaries did very well.
I can imagine it did. Kids like the hideous violence and sexual assault. Anyway, I got a question from your friend and ours, Daryl Surratt, wants to know, what is the process by which ad copy is approved for the backs of your DVD sets? Who's picking the taglines and the stills? And then in all caps, I want names.
Oh, I know that he is referring to Aesthetica of a Rogue Hero.
And many others. I mean,
yes, because before the end cast, I was looking at them, and because the tagline is, "She's a pink-haired princess, he's a panty-snatching perv."
And then pull quote you used for that was, "This show made me really uncomfortable."
That's the one above it, yes.
Yeah. Well, there's something called pandering, and then there's something called a wink, wink, nod, nudge, nudge. You know, like, hey, you know, we have a good creative team. We have brand managers. They all get together and say, well, with this title, how to present it to people. And also kind of whenever you're looking at this stuff, it's how do you get people's attention?
And it's also trying to find the right quote that fits the brand.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, a lot of people have already watched some of these shows, so they're already aware of it. And so there's only a certain percentage of people that, you know, a tagline would actually get them into the show. It's more of a secondary and tertiary thing. So I mean, the story and the visuals is what really sells it. But then they want to know a little bit more about it. That kind of like gets them into it. And at the end of the day, quotes get in for approval, taglines, and then all of our copy that you see, all the back covers, the front covers, the DVD menus, all that gets submitted to Japan to each of the committees for each of the shows, and those get approved as well.
Is this why you guys couldn't use my tagline for Oni-Eye? Come at me, bro.
We're never gonna live down Boobies for the Win. Well, never gonna live that one down.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
We used it a lot because it worked so well with Sekiro, and Sekiro did very well for us.
Yeah, I think the trailer won that more.
Yeah, it did. Well, yes.
Well, the show itself, and then people going,
top Pokemon.
Have you seen that? And also, it's fun to game the system on YouTube where you have a little busty thumbnail. People click on it, and
that
then
works every time,
you know, what is
wait
this?
A minute, wait oh, a minute. Are you suggesting that one of the secrets to marketing things on the internet is boobs?
I know. What? Write it down.
What? You guys are giving away all your secrets here.
Oh my gosh!
I know.
Yeah.
Well, to me, like, as much as we like to, obviously, like, it kind of benefits you when, like, you know, we in the press get these boxes and, like, take pictures of the crazy taglines and go, like, oh, like, that benefits you, I'm sure.
Like, oh, absolutely. That's part of what we're thinking when we do stuff like this. Like, yeah. What he calls it, basically stand out somehow from the rest of the things around it.
It's effective. And you are kind of, I kind of appreciate the fact that you're just embracing what these shows really are, instead of trying to be sort of highfalutin about it and being like, oh, this is actually quite... No, it's about the titties. Let's not pretend like it's not about the titties. And like, just call it like it is.
It's like, It's like you're going to buy this. Yes, you.
Right.
We have a variety of stuff. We can go high class at others, so we don't need to take it out on these shows like this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. To me, it's just calling it for what it is. Which.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's funny,
and the fans appreciate it.
All right. Also, for Brandon White, he asks, "What happened with the Sankaria release? Did Kodansha send you the wrong masters? You guys would be
kinda,
not tired of hearing about this.
I kind of don't want to talk about it.
Okay. All right."
It's just that, you know, we're correcting it. I mean, yeah, we go into baseball, but we're not going to go into all the different, you know, all the different, you know, production and blah 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 blah, like inside baseball.
It's just fixed.
Like when something was a problem. Oh, huh. Well, we're fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
That's about all I can add on that.
Replacements.
Okay, AOI Podcast asks, since Toonami's airing the Funimation library, or at least a chunk of it, is there any chance that they might air older titles such as Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040? It's real specific.
Well, I can already answer that with Tenshimuyo GXP.
Right? Yeah. Did it air that?
They aired that, and that was 2004.
Yeah, Adult Swim chooses the titles.
We give them a selection, and they choose the titles. And sometimes they will recommend stuff. Like, hey, I noticed that you have this. Can we air this? And that was kind of like along the lines with Tenchi GXP.
Yeah, we make suggestions, but they are basically suggestions. Yeah. And they come back and say, we want a show. We don't generally say no to them that much.
Yeah, because like they're doing the program track because they want the ratings for Toonami. The better the ratings, the better Toonami can thrive on it. And so they're looking at the depth and breadth of anime, and they're doing their programming, so they get stuff from everybody.
And they're not afraid of movies anymore, too, also as a plus. Yeah. So they're running a movie of ours every single Saturday this month, and they did the EVA movies, too.
Yeah.
I imagine they probably prefer things in HD, right?
Oh, yes. Whenever possible, but it's not a stopping factor for any show. If they see a show's good, they're just going to go for it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Real J. Poe asks, trailer for Erica 7 showed up on the One Piece DVDs last month and circulated through blogs and forums before Anime News Network reached out for confirmation on the license rescue. Why'd you wait so long to officially announce the show?
Actually, it was in Diamond Previews before that.
Well then, you showed him.
So hey, you weren't the first one, and all the people, all you comic book nerds, you didn't catch it either. So, there. There's not a rule that we have to formally announce everything. I mean, who made that rule?
Well, it's just that's what people are used to. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, it was an overall strategy, basically, of trying to announce something a little closer to, you know, pre-order.
Yeah.
Not actually just to announce it. We have it. Now let's wait 9 months.
So, you know, it's some of it is just the and you know, that was a snarky answer. But some of it is you kind of have a window of, well, these DVDs within these menus are releasing within this window, and then these you give Diamond a lot, you know, you give dates ahead of schedule, and so you just kind of look at the timing of the coordinating of those dates. And so sometimes, you know, like a show will have a release date of X, but it might get to the distributors like 4 weeks ahead, and they might ship early, and so that's how sometimes they kind of beat things and when you want to announce. So
right. Okay, Wayne One asks, well, this is just, this question's been around since the 80s. What does EXPLODE stand for in the Akira tagline anyway?
I would say go on to google.jp and find the address for Kodansha and ask them.
I'm not sure on that one.
Because what I'd probably think of is I'd probably Google that, and it's got to be in an interview. So if there's any interviews with creative staff, It's probably in an interview. It might be a printed interview. It might be an online interview, because if that's been asked in the 80s, it's probably been answered. It just might be lost on the internet for someone to find.
Well, that's just the old Streamline tagline, and it's not, I mean, it's a joke. It's not an acronym. It's just there for emphasis. Like,
weren't they bullets instead of periods anyway?
Yeah, they were bullets.
Is that it?
Bullets. Oh, God, yeah, it's just emphasis. It's not supposed to be an acronym. Like,
I'm not sure.
Poor Lance exhausted.
It's just some of the stuff is, it's kind of like, instead of asking us, sometimes we license it, we didn't make it. So your guess is as good as us.
It's not me for sure.
Right. Okay.
So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be snarky about it. I mean like, I welcome all questions. It's just that I don't know, but if I was to do the research, that's how I would research it.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just the old Streamlink tagline. I would imagine it was used on your release for nostalgia purposes because you're selling it to people who grew up with that movie in the 80s. So, duh. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it's like us doing the ocean stuff for Dragon Ball Z.
Sure.
I mean, we have Hiffle on there.
Right.
I thought the question was, so are y'all still releasing everything uncut? Is this thing edited? I mean, we still get those questions about, is this edited? I'm like, are you living in 98?
We once had a person go up to a booth and says, what does Funimation do with Dragon Ball Z? I was like, wow, what? Where are you from? Which planet?
Well, he might be just some person new.
I mean, really new. He's in his 40s.
Yeah. Well, you might be new in the anime.
Sure. I was surprised. I was like, okay, there's a lot we have to do with this. I can explain to you now, or I can point you to the DVDs.
I often wonder if Princess Night Guy actually knows that both the manga and anime have been released now.
Maybe. Let's hope so.
Well, he could get the Anime Encyclopedia Revised Expanded Edition, A Guide to Japanese Animation Since 1917 by Jonathan Clements and Helen McCarthy. I think that would be a starting point, because whenever you have an annotated book of 867 pages of just shows, I think that's where I would start.
I think we get name dropped.
Still Pitch Press.
He's gone to the shelf. Everyone, keep going with the questions.
Okay. Better question from Wayne01. What's your favorite Mamoru Hosoda movie?
Ooh. It almost depends on the day. I love Summer Wars, but then I watch Wolf Children. Like, I love Wolf Children. And then he gave me a couple days. I still like Summer Wars.
Have you watched A Girl Who Loved You Time? Because if you haven't watched that.
I have watched that. I haven't watched it in a while. But I do love it. But again, I'm like a little close. No, Girl Who Loved You Time is fantastic. The only thing I think of Soda I have not seen is the Digimon movie. They've referred to a few times. But I'd lead Summer Wars, but it is damn close to Wolf Children with Girl Who Loved You Time right on its heels. Swars, that's what Lance is.
We're agreeing. Summer Wars. Oh,
okay, you got
agreed on movies. We got those all down.
We got a lot of questions. People are saying, like, well, you licensed all the rest of his stuff. When are you going to get One Piece Movie 6, which I guess he directed?
Oh, yeah, that is a Hosoda one. Yeah, I remember the One Piece podcast guys telling me that. Again, that's future acquisitions.
That's a question for our acquisitions department, too.
Should get Zaner on here. I can't say anything.
Yeah. It was just relevant to the question.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
You know, I don't bust out this, oh, you guys have Sailor Moon? Are you going to license Evangelion TV? Yeah, okay.
I'm glad you said that. That's what you asked.
What about Legend of Galactic Heroes? Are you going to get that?
More big wind-up? No.
After we do Code Machine.
Hey, at least you don't have any more Rose of Versailles questions.
Yeah, that's been answered. It's a nice box set.
There you go. Must be a huge sigh of relief.
Catch my fan subs of those. That was the sweetest day.
Okay, let's see here. Roots of Justice asks, there were a few simulcast shows this year that managed to slip through the cracks and got listed without any sort of announcement. In particular, Aesthetica of a Rogue Hero and Bean Bulgamiga were among them. Were these just flukes, or is this the future for simulcasted shows?
Well, a lot of the stuff that we get is, we try to get a lot of the rights at the very beginning, but sometimes we just don't announce, like, everything.
Right.
Yeah, overall, basically, sometimes the rights roll in, sometimes they, what you call it, it matters when they fall in. So, yeah, again, basically back to what might someone announce because by solicitation in an advertisement or Amazon or something like that. But yeah, we're just talking about Aesthetica, so we're listening to that. And Good Luck Girl, Bimbo Got Me Guys, I fucking love that show.
Yeah, basically our grand scheme is to keep you guessing so you get to go to Anime News Network all the time to increase their page counts and to be subscribed to our Facebook and our blog. We're basically just keep the information so you can just have to go to those sites again and again and again and again. That's basically our grand scheme. We're in collusion.
Okay, got quite a few questions asking if you'd consider putting promotional codes in physical releases for premium memberships on the website for a trial or something like that.
We're looking at multiple different options that we call stuff like that is on the – well, let's see. This is a good idea. Let's see if it fits along those lines. So stay tuned for more updates on what we're going to do with subscription down the road. There's going to be a lot of like, here's a list of things we want to do. What can we actually do? What would we want to do? When do we want to do it?
And the timeline of doing it.
Right. Okay. Space. We're winding down here. Almost at the end here. Spaceman Hardy asks, any plans to dub the sub-only titles you rescued from Bandai? Like Tales of the Abyss, My Otome, something or other. So sub-only titles that came out from Bandai, thinking about dubbing them?
Can't confirm everything, but that'd be very, very, very highly unlikely.
Unlikely that you would dub stuff that...
Yeah, because they've already made a decision as also on that.
Right, okay.
And so a lot of it is just, you know, looking at their decision and looking at the track record of shows.
Yeah, it's like... If Bandai didn't think it was worth putting a dub on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate for the people that really like those shows that would want that dub. So it is, and it's a lot of these decisions are unfortunate to some people.
Which is a shame because, I know better than to make suggestions like this, but in my heart of hearts, the very back of my head, against all logic, I'm like, gosh, I hope they redub Escaflowne. Because that dub is junk.
That was a while back, yeah.
It was. Okay. Also asks, any particular reason you never picked up Yu Yu Hakusho Poltergeist Report so you could have everything Yu Yu Hakusho?
It wasn't available.
Okay, then.
You know, because it was, wasn't it CPM?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, even though CPM's not around, it just because they're not around doesn't mean that it's available again.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it's been held up for a while.
Does it mean that we don't want it? No, we want it. It's just that, you know, it's timing. Is it locked up? Is it something else?
If I recall, the licensor for that is different than the rest of Yu Yu Hakusho.
Would we want it? Yeah, we would want it. But is it available? Not this time, but it's like, if it was available, would you want it? I'm like, yeah, but, you know, it's a lot of some shows are different committees, different materials. Is stuff still available? How would you release it? Some things take time.
Okay, I got this one a lot too. If the sub only Oni-I release is successful, is there potential for the show to get a dub in the future?
I would say that's very highly unlikely.
Yeah, Sentai sort of set the precedent on that, where it's like, well, if you guys buy the sub only, we'll dub it. I don't know how that worked out.
It
doesn't really prove that. It's like, again, that a lot of sales for the sub doesn't mean that we should be dubbed. This means that people want to buy it while it's sub, so it means that idea worked.
For me as a consumer, I was like, I don't want to double dip. I think it's like, really? I have to double dip? Okay. It's just, you know, just for me personally, it's just like, you know, double dipping for the dub.
Okay.
As a consumer side, not within a production side.
All right, last question. Invalid Name asks, any chance of digital copies with physical releases? So, like, you buy a disc, and there's a code in it for a digital download or something on iTunes or something like that?
Magician doesn't reveal his secrets.
Okay, then. No comment. All right. Okay, guys. Well, that brings us to the end of this. Once again, it's always a huge pleasure to have you guys on the show. Thanks for answering all those questions, you know, whether you could or not. And hope you guys have a great holiday.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm just glad that you know, anime is more widely available. People go to cons. People chat about it. Everything is great.
Awesome. Here, thanks again. We always love being on.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Adam and Lance for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it, and we will see you all next week.